You are listening to ListCast. If you'd like to get in touch with us, leave a comment, or perhaps suggest a top 5 list for us to do on the show, you can drop us a line at listcast5@gmail.com or visit our website at listcast.podomatic.com. Now on with the show. Welcome to ListCast. I'm here with Justin.
I'm right here.
And I'm Josh. Today our topic is movies about the afterlife or death involving those things.
Yeah, any movie having to do with that kind of subject matter.
Mm-hmm. What's your number five, Justin?
All right, my number five is probably the most easy and obvious choice. Field of Dreams. 1989,
choice.
Directed by Phil Alden Robinson, who also directed Sneakers, one of our favorites.
Sneakers is cool.
Starring Kevin Costner, mainly, among Ray Liotta. Basically, I mean, I think probably everyone knows the story to this. Kevin Costner is Ray Kinsella. Hears a voice. It says,
if you build it,
he will come. If you build it, he will come. And he builds it. It is a baseball field.
I always liked,
he's his pain. Boom, boom.
Go the distance.
Yeah. Those are the only three messages he gets.
Yeah.
And he builds a baseball field. I don't even know what to say. This is such a good movie. It's so different. Who would think of this? Who would think of having their main character hear a voice, build a baseball field, and have the ghosts of baseball players come out? And, I mean, I don't think I'm really ruining anything. The movie's really about Costner. And
his father.
It's his, yeah, it's ultimately to get to his father.
It ultimately turns into a father-son.
Yeah, because he had had a really
falling out.
Generally not a great relationship with his father for, you know, the time of his life that he knew him. His father died young. One of the few things they could connect on was baseball. And at the end of the movie, Go the Distance was...
No, if he build it, he will... If you build it, he will come was in reference to his father.
Right, but of course... Throughout the whole movie, he thought it was about Shoeless Joe Jackson,
yeah,
but
it was
not. It was actually, the whole thing is kind of a bait and switch. It's actually about getting Costner to meet up with his dad again, which is very
awesome. I mean, it was very different.
Yeah.
You know, who would have thought, coming out of a cornfield?
Yeah, come on.
It's strange.
It's awesome.
But it was good.
It sounds, like, I guess, more complicated than it is, but I mean, it's a very simple movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a good and different take on how to do something about the afterlife. And, you know, how that afterlife can kind of connect to the living, in a way. You know, it wasn't some spiritual thing. It really wasn't about that. It was a personal journey.
It was personal, but it also did tap into America's pastime.
Sure.
Which is baseball.
It was just amazing.
Everybody could relate to that.
Mm-hmm. People will come, Ray. They'll come to Iowa for reasons they can't even fathom. They'll turn up your driveway, not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll arrive at your door, as innocent as children, longing for the past. Of course, we won't mind if you look around, you'll say. It's only $20 per person. They'll pass over the money without even thinking about it. For it is money they have, and peace they like.
Ray. Just sign the papers.
And they'll walk out to the bleachers. Sit in shirt sleeves on a perfect afternoon. They'll find they have reserved seats somewhere along one of the baselines. Where they sat when they were children and cheered their heroes. And they'll watch the game. And it'll be as if they'd dipped themselves in magic waters. The memories will be so thick, they'll have to brush them away from their faces.
Ray, when the bank opens in the morning, they'll foreclose.
People will come, Ray.
You're broke, Ray. You sell now or you lose everything.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. Baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good, and it could be again. Oh, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
Even if you like baseball or not, it didn't matter. Yeah. It was that love of the game.
Yeah.
That everybody could feel.
So what's your number five?
My number five is, it's a recent movie. It's a little silly. I have warmed up to it. Just Like Heaven.
With Reese Witherspoon?
And Mark and Mark Ruffalo.
All right.
The only reason I've kind of warmed up to it is because it has become a favorite of our dad.
Household.
He likes to watch it. Right. And, you know, he likes to watch the same movies over and over again.
He likes to burn them out.
So he watches this a lot, and I at first wasn't very taken by it when I first saw it, but I've really warmed up to it.
It's very formulaic and everything.
It's very formulaic, but it's very heartwarming. Mm-hmm. Mark Ruffalo and Reese Witherspoon, I think, had really great chemistry together. Mm-hmm. She plays a doctor. She dies in a car accident. It turns out they were supposed to meet. They were supposed to go on a blind date. Mm-hmm. They don't know this, but that's why they have this kind of connection. That's why he can see her. She speaks through him. He has to get in touch with her family.
Right.
First, she doesn't remember who she is. It's like you said, it's very formulaic, but it's also a romantic comedy.
Yeah. Which are almost always formulaic, but within that formula, but it has, you can have charm.
But it has that twist of her being dead.
Has it crossed your mind that there might be something a little off about the way you've been spending your days?
Well, actually, yes. It's a little weird having a squatter in your living room.
I am not... Okay, let's start over. Hi, I'm David Abbott. And you are...
I am, I'm Elizabeth. My name is Elizabeth.
You didn't know that. You had to read that.
I think I know my own name.
Okay. When was the last time that you remember actually talking to someone other than me?
The other day. The other day.
And when you're not here, what do you do with the rest of your day?
Well, certainly a lot more than you do, that's for sure.
Let's not stray from the point here, Lizzie.
Don't call me Lizzie. I'm not in kindergarten. My name is Elizabeth.
You think? Let me ask you, has anything dramatic happened to you recently?
Like what?
I don't know, like... dying, maybe?
How dare you say that to me?
Okay, calm down.
Get your hands off of me, you pervert!
Calm down. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm trying to help you face the fact that you are...
I'm not dead.
Look around you. There should be a bright light nearby.
There's a light?
Walk into the light, Elizabeth.
There is no light. I am not dead. I think I would know if I was dead.
It's silly. It's fun.
No, it's a cute movie. I enjoyed it.
It's lighthearted.
It's very light. You know, it's something you can kind of casually put on and not really, you know, dedicate too much brain power to.
No. But as a number five, I thought it would have a good spot. Yeah. But there's not a whole lot I can say about it. It's not very dense.
Yeah, I mean, like, we can't really break down the philosophical nature
of it. It is a little overly sentimental
at times.
It's no
Field of Dreams.
No, but it's kind of warm and fuzzy.
Right.
That's cool.
That's all right. That's a good choice.
What's your number four?
Beetlejuice.
Yeah, that was on my list.
Yeah.
That is my number four, actually.
Oh, wow. What a coinkydink. Yeah, Beetlejuice. This movie's fucking great.
Yeah, I know.
What?
Michael Keaton steals every scene he's in.
What a spin on ghost stories and death.
And the afterlife, you know. They go into a waiting room.
And hunting and all of that. Yeah, right. So different. You know, Tim Burton, to me, can get a little stale sometimes. But this is the kind of movie he's just made to do. It's different. And it's a subject matter that he can kind of take and make his own. This movie's damn funny. It's damn funny. And, you know, the idea that, you know, these two people die, and, you know, they kind of really just don't want to. And they really would like to stay. And they liked their life.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're already dead. You know, it's not like they're facing some sort of judgment or anything like that. They just really like their house, and they'd like to stay there. Yeah. And they'd like to get rid of these awful people that have moved in. So they take it upon themselves to try and haunt them. But, of course, they're really nice people, so they don't know how to go about this. And, you know, so they need Beetlejuice to help them out, and hijinks ensue, and it kind of goes from there. But it's great, fun, energetic, you know, just enjoyable movie, different. You know, a fun spin on Haunting and all that without getting all crazy, and it's not violent, it's just fun. It's a style of comedy that I think isn't really tapped into a lot.
Not really. And I agree with you about the Tim Burton thing.
Yeah.
About him kind of becoming stale nowadays.
Yeah.
He can do that.
But it's this like, was while he... I dare say this was in his heyday.
It was.
This, Edward Scissorhands, you know...
Pee-wee.
That was when he was really just on it. And he found a way to balance his natural tendencies for that goth bullshit with, I don't know, the shit that 99% of the world kind of would be interested in seeing. But yeah, I think it's just a fun
movie. Yeah, it was my number four too. Yeah. So, and Beetlejuice, I mean, Michael Keaton owns that movie.
Yeah, he does. He's all awesome.
What are your qualifications?
Ah, well, I attended Juilliard. I'm a graduate of the Harvard Business School. I travel quite extensively. I lived through the Black Plague, and I had a pretty good time during that. I've seen The Exorcist about 167 times, and it keeps getting funnier every single time I see it! Not to mention the fact that you're talking to a dead guy! Now, what do you think? You think I'm qualified?
Well, what I mean is, can you be scary?
Oh, I know you're asking me. Can I be scary? What do you think of this? You like it?
I mean, what was he, Mr. Mom before that?
I know.
The guy has range, and
from this to Batman.
He's been typecast as Batman, unfortunately.
Which is ironic, because no one wanted him as Batman. They're like, you want Beetlejuice?
And now
as
everybody's
Batman?
Like, Val Kilmer? We want Michael Keaton.
Yeah, you know?
George Val Clooney? Kilmer? What the hell is this?
We want Keaton back.
We want the guy who looks nothing like, you know, Bruce Wayne.
Well, since I stole your four, do you have a replacement? Four? Backup?
Sure. I'll talk about this movie, which I saw recently. It was made in the 80s. It's called Flatliners.
Oh, shit. All right.
Yeah. I didn't think I'd be talking about this. Oh, you know, I heard about it.
It's not all that great.
It was interesting. I wouldn't say it's great. It was interesting. I heard about it over the years. Just never got around to seeing it. I don't know what it was.
Right.
But I think I was on this kind of, like, afterlife death kick kind of thing, like ghostly thing, and I wanted to watch something, and this popped up as a recommendation. I'm like, oh, I'll give it a shot. And it has Kiefer Sutherland.
Julia Roberts.
Yeah, they're
Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, they're med students.
Yeah.
And Kiefer wants to have a near-death experience.
Right.
There's some kind of technique where they stop his heart.
Yeah.
So he can experience death. He wants to find out what's beyond.
Wait a minute. Wait. Quite simply, why are you doing this?
Quite simply, to see if there's anything out there beyond death. Philosophy failed. Religion failed. Now it's up to the physical sciences. I think mankind deserves to know.
So you're doing this for mankind?
This letter absolves you of any responsibility, just in case.
This isn't for mankind. This is for Nelson. Why do I suddenly see you on 60 Minutes, sandwiched in between Andy Rooney and a Subaru commercial? Tonight, a brilliant young medical student who dared to experience death and come back.
Fame is inevitable.
That's the wrong reason.
It's the right idea. Dr. Hurley, electrodes.
Come on, Joe. Don't you want to be on 60 Minutes? Rachel, how about a little nitrous? At least I get to go out with a laugh. Dr. Hurley, get the blanket. We're all professionals. I'm sure this will go very smoothly.
Nelson, if you die, can I have your apartment? It's a joke. It's a joke.
1 minute. Don't be late. Start filming now. I have a complete record of the experiment. Promise me, you'll go through with this.
So they do it, and he has this kind of weird experience. And at first everything is very ethereal for him. He's very on cloud nine afterwards. And then things start to turn weird. All of his colleagues, Julie Roberts, I think it's William Baldwin, eventually do this procedure where they stop the heart so they can have this experience that Kiefer Sutherland had. And it all starts out great, then it gets weird. You've seen this.
A long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a great film, but it was definitely interesting. Especially the way they portrayed the near-death experience. So I would give it, you know, maybe 3 out of 5 stars for effort. Mm-hmm. I think it was actually directed by Joel Schumacher.
Yes.
If I remember that
right. Yes, I think so. Which would make sense, because Kiefer Sutherland, he would have just had him in The Lost Boys and...
Yeah. But I really liked it. I was really surprised how much I did like it. I thought I would be kind of like, ugh, this is kind of a throwaway movie from the 80s. And,
right.
But it was a very interesting concept.
Yes, I will give you that. It's kind of a fun...
I wouldn't say the execution idea is exactly what I would have done, but right. It was definitely an interesting story. Mm-hmm. And some interesting sequences, and especially the way they portrayed this kind of near-death
right.
concept.
That's cool.
All right. What do you got?
All right. I'm pretty sure you've seen this. This is Dead Again.
Yeah, I've seen it. I own it.
Okay.
I was going to choose this one,
yeah,
but I have not watched this movie in so long.
Yeah, I haven't either. So what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to read the description, one of the descriptions I found on IMDb.
Okay.
First of all, this is 1991, directed and starring Kenneth Branagh and Emma Thompson, Andy Garcia, Derek Jacobi.
Isn't Robin Williams in it, too?
Yeah, actually he is. Really, very good role, too, actually. Mike Church... is a Los Angeles private detective who specializes in finding missing persons. He takes on the case of a mystery woman who he calls Grace. She is suffering from amnesia and has no memories of her own. She keeps having nightmares involving the murder of a pianist, Margaret, by her husband Roman Strauss in the late 1940s. In an attempt to solve the mystery about these nightmares, Church seeks help from Madison, who is an antiques dealer with the gift of hypnosis. And the hypnosis sessions with he and Margaret end up revealing some surprises.
Let's go back to the day Margaret and Roman first met. How far back are you? 2 years? 3 years? A year?
1948.
Okie dokie, I think I've heard enough.
Mr. Church, I really must insist that you refrain from talking during the session.
The lady just told us she met a guy named Roman in 1948. I say the session's over.
On occasion, Mr. Church, hypnosis can take us back to our past lives as well as our past.
You expect me just to run with that?
Let me remind you, Mr. Church, yesterday this young lady wasn't even speaking.
Brock. Enough was on the program that night.
Wait for me, my dear. When was this?
Winter. 1948. Roman was guest conductor with Los Angeles Symphony.
From that point, I'd have to go into detail because it's actually a very layered story.
I remember really liking this movie, and I know it has a twist.
Yes, it
at
does.
At the end.
Yeah, and I kind of don't want to like.
Yeah, spoil don't spoil too much, it because I do want to see it again.
It's a really good movie. I mean, I bring it up because it is about the death of this girl in the 1940s, you know, the wife of this Roman Strauss, who, you know, her memories of her death or whatever are coming out in this woman in the 1990s. And, I mean, obviously they're not the same woman, so something ethereal is happening here. You know, Mike Church, very convenient name, you know.
Yeah, sure.
It's hard to really go into without spoiling it, because it's actually a really good movie. Great actors in it. And just a nice little spin on, you know, connecting with the dead in some fashion. Again, cannot spoil too much. Kind of almost anything I tell you is going to be kind of revealing.
Yeah, even though I haven't seen this movie.
Because anyone listening who wants to hook this out might not have seen it, and I would recommend
it. Yeah, even though I haven't seen it in like 10 years, yeah. I would definitely recommend it to people because I remember it being...
It holds up.
Yeah, I remember it being very affecting.
It's got a great opening music score, too.
I do remember that part.
By the by.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, Dead Again. So we're on to your 2?
Number 3.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to mix things up a little bit here.
Mix it up.
I'm going to go with The Frighteners.
I knew it.
I initially didn't have that on my list.
I assumed it was there. Like, you like this movie. I like this movie.
I like it a lot, too.
But I think you have a gravity towards it that I don't.
I don't know why. I thought we both.
Well, it's not that I don't enjoy it. I just think you enjoy it more than I do.
Well, I definitely felt it needs to be mentioned. Because it is kind of a lost film.
Why is that?
I don't know. It just didn't connect with people.
Maybe.
It came between... It's directed by Peter Jackson. Sure. It came between Heavenly Creatures and Lord of the Rings.
Right.
It kind of got lost in the middle. Hmm. People don't seem to want to talk about it. I remember it didn't do very well financially.
Hmm.
But I remember having an affection for it.
Part of the reason is that as a film itself, it doesn't quite know what it is. It doesn't know if it's a comedy or if it's a horror movie.
It's a comedy horror.
Which is a hard sell.
It doesn't quite know which way to lean.
Because it's not comedy horror like, say, Scream is, which leans towards the comedy.
Yeah,
this is.
It at times can be genuinely funny, but
I would say it's a horror movie with comedic elements, almost.
Yeah, I can see that point of view. Sure,
you know, because there is genuine peril. People die. People get hurt. Yeah. You know, and but of course, in death is comedy.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not just the concept of the film itself, but the look of the film.
Yeah,
the style of it. You know, a lot of people will think style. They'll think of Peter Jackson doing Lord of the Rings, right, which is completely different.
Oh yeah.
But the setting of this movie,
yeah,
it was. I know it was shot in.
Looks like Maryland or something.
No. It was shot abroad, overseas.
Oh, like New Zealand.
Yeah, New Zealand.
Yeah.
There you go. So it has a very interesting look to it.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be in America, but they shot in New Zealand.
That's where he lives. Yeah.
But Michael J. Fox is a con artist, basically.
He's a fake Ghostbuster.
But he can't. He had a near death experience in his past,
yeah,
so he can see ghosts.
Yeah.
And he has two ghost friends, and they help him with his cons. They'll go into a house, cause what they call, you know, like a poltergeist.
Yeah.
And he'll come in and do his little...
And fake an exorcism.
Yeah, he'll do a little act and, you know, yeah, and that's how he makes his living.
Persistent residue of the departed. Always a problem this time of year. Dr. Linsky.
Yes, thank you for coming.
The activity is currently located where?
I don't know. It just went quiet about 5 minutes ago.
Well, quiet? The dining room table spun in a counterclockwise direction.
I don't think that one happened, no.
The toilet seat lid banged up and down?
No.
Did the bed levitate?
Yeah, with me on it.
Spontaneous recurrent psychokinesis. Oh, boy. Oh, this could be the worst case I've ever seen. Oh, yeah, this is bad. Okay, well, folks, I can do a clearance, but... not going to be cheap. Although I do offer a 6-month guarantee.
You know, I admit I have a big... I guess I have an affection for this movie that I thought you did as well, but
no,
apparently not
I
as much
do.
As me.
The problem with this movie for me is, let's say the runtime is 2 hours exactly. I think they should have cut about probably 20 minutes out of this movie. It runs a little long for me, but on a scene-by-scene basis, I quite enjoy it. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some genuinely funny parts, and then kind of the action-y bits are really fun, too. And I like Michael J. Fox. Trini Alvarado plays the girl. She's smoking. Love that girl.
Well, that's definitely up your ballpark.
That's right up my alley.
Yeah.
I like her, and, you know, his ghost buddies are
they're funny,
funny
yeah,
as hell.
Yeah.
You know, and even the guy, Trini Alvarado's husband who dies, I like that guy.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, he's funny.
He's
the exercise freak.
No,
yeah,
he's like an ass, but he's funny and kind of endearing in a weird way.
Yeah.
And then there's the Western guy,
the judge.
I love that guy.
Yeah,
you know who is that? That's
Aston
John Aston.
John Aston. Yeah,
great.
Yeah,
and then Jeffrey Combs.
Jeffrey Combs.
Come on, give it up.
Is the primary villain Jake Busey?
Jake Busey
plays the baddie.
Yeah, but there's a lot going on in this movie.
Yeah.
A lot going on.
Oh, come on. You're out of your mind. You're talking about a mythical figure. A pseudo-religious icon from the 12th century.
Save your pea brain prattle for the classroom, boy. That was the soul collector. And he's been taking people out since time began. He's going about some dark business here in Fairwater, and we ain't nothing but worm bait. When your number's up, that's it.
good. It is good. I do enjoy it. Like I said, for me, it just felt...
It mostly deals with ghosts, but it does have a few short depictions of heaven and hell at the end of the film. But it's mostly about ghostly images and apparitions.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. I like it. All right. My number two, Chances Are.
Yeah.
Was that your two? Or was that your one?
That was going to be my number two.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, I had a feeling.
Chances Are.
I know that song. I can't get it out of my head. 1989, Robert Downey Jr., Sybil Shepherd, Ryan O'Neill, Mary Stuart Masterson, Christopher McDonald.
That's one of those movies I watched a lot as a kid.
Yeah, I watched this a lot on rotation, like on HBO or
Cinemax. Whatever.
This movie is about reincarnation, which is a topic that you don't see a lot of. You'll see a lot of ghost movies or whatever, but reincarnation is kind of it's not hit on a lot. This is one of those reincarnation movies I just really enjoyed, where they meet people again, but in a different body.
Yeah, the husband of Sybil.
Yeah, the husband of Sybil Shepherd
dies in the beginning of the movie.
Dies.
He's supposed to get a shot.
Yeah, he gets to heaven, and they're supposed to then go be reincarnated in a newborn child. And before they go down, they're given a shot.
So
this shot is supposed to basically wipe their memory.
Yep.
And so kind of
he's in a hurry to get back.
Yeah. See, like the idea behind that shot is their spirit would move on. You know, like that kind of personality, but the memories are gone. But he's in such a rush to get back because he hasn't even really stopped to realize the fact that he's dead. He's kind of just not listening to what they're saying. Mm-hmm. They're like, "You're dead, dude." He's like, "No, gotta get back. Got something very important to tell her."
"What's that? You want to be reborn a boy or a girl?" "Oh, no, I don't want to be reborn at all. I want to go home right now, just as I am."
"Well, that's impossible. You're between bodies right now. Look, you're a soul, a spirit. And I'm telling you right now, the only way to get back is to be reborn." "I got a problem with that?"
"I guess not."
"Well, as I was saying, boy or girl?"
"Boy."
"Okay, there's an Eskimo woman about to give birth."
"No, I don't want to be an Eskimo."
"Son of an African chief, you'll inherit 10 wives on your 60th.
No, I have a wife."
"Okay, here's an interesting situation. Rodeo Drive, Beverly Hills, great location."
"No, East Coast, okay? East Coast."
"Pool and trust fund, huh? We can get you there in 3 months."
"Can't wait."
"You're really in a hurry, huh?"
"Yeah."
"Okay, here comes Cleveland. It's about the closest thing I've got to Washington. There's a woman about to deliver there, Marlene Finch."
"Fine."
"Her husband's name is Roger, who's an elk."
"Great."
"He owns a first-class dry."
"I'll take it."
"Oh, okay. Oh, she's going into labor. You better hurry."
"How will we recognize each other?"
"Don't worry. Go, go, go." "No. Whoa! Whoa! Wait a minute! I forgot! You're shot! You got it! You need...
I'll go together."
"Omar? What happened?"
"He had to run."
"He had to run? And what, Omar? And what?" "And you forgot to give him his inoculation." "Omar, he can't go through life without that."
"Sally, please."
"What if he remembers?"
And he just goes running off and doesn't get the shot. They're like, "Oh no."
And he gets reincarnated as
Robert Downey Jr. He's been reborn, so his memories are basically Swiss cheese. He doesn't think anything until he encounters Ryan O'Neill.
And Sybil Shepherd.
And then it all starts to come back to him. Mm-hmm. And he remembers...
He starts to have these memories that he doesn't know where they're coming from.
Right, and there's all sorts of comedy that comes from him figuring all that out.
Yeah.
He encounters Sybil Shepherd. Ryan O'Neill was his best friend, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
So he's met them again, and now he remembers everything. Now it's all come back. So now he's face to face with his daughter, who is now his same age.
Mary Stuart Masterson.
And of course, as far as he's concerned, he's still in love with his wife, who's kind of not moved on like in relationships, but she's gotten over.
Well, there's a switch. You know, at first he's very attracted to Mary Stuart Masterson.
Before he knows who he is.
And then Ryan O'Neill takes him to his home.
Yeah, and then she falls for him, and he kind of starts getting into her, but then when it clicks who he is, he's like, "Oh my God,
he's like,
touch
I was
you.
Louis Jeffries!"
Yeah.
Great movie.
It really is, and I think it's a forgotten hidden gem almost at this point.
It's very...
Very early in his career, and kind of...
Yeah.
Any audience that he might have had of people that were kind of interested in Robert Downey Jr., this probably wasn't up their alley, so to speak. You know, any movie having to deal with this kind of subject is kind of hit or miss. You never know.
Well, it was just an interesting way to tell the story.
Yeah.
It was lighthearted,
because he doesn't want to. He can't really tell anyone who he is because no one's going to believe him.
But it was lighthearted, funny, but it was also very smart.
Yeah,
you know, it didn't go the light route, like say just like Heaven.
Yeah. You know, and then he ultimately has to give up this life. The people from Heaven come down at the end and give him the shot.
He does it consciously.
Yes, but before that, he had consciously decided to let go of the past and let them move on. You know, as they really already had, and he just was fucking them up and making it worse. And he let, you know, by that action, allowed Ryan O'Neal and Cybill Shepherd to connect, which he was in love with her from day one. Mm-hmm. But out of respect for his friend, he never pushed it, which was really kind of cool, a nice little thing. He'd waited years patiently.
Oh, a long time.
Very long
time. Long time.
And he was kind of finally given the go-ahead, and he went with it. And you feel good for that. You know, you don't feel like anyone got cheated. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, that's my number two. That was your two again.
Yeah.
Any alternates?
I guess I'll just talk about this now, because I figured you're going to snipe it, unless I do.
Damn it! Damn you!
What do you want me to do?
Can't you just do another one, and then we'll talk about this together at the end? Okay. We both know what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
I know. Okay.
So pick something else.
Okay, my number two is going to be Stir of Echoes.
That was one of my maybes. I almost did that, yeah.
Yeah.
I just didn't know how to describe it and give it justice.
It's kind of hard to explain. I didn't see Stir of Echoes theatrically.
Me either.
And it came out in 1999. I probably didn't see it till probably about 8 years later.
Yeah.
I bought it as a blind buy, and I remember I recommended it to you.
Did you? Is that how I saw it?
Yeah.
I think really I loaned it to you.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Kevin Bacon was excellent.
He was.
And it's a very well-told story in a very small scope. It all takes place in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
This very tight-knit neighborhood. Kevin Bacon is this kind of blue-collar everyman living a kind of blue-collar everyman life. His wife and his
Tom
son.
Tom Witzke.
That's his name. Yeah, he's a...
Directed by David Koepp, who, if I'm not mistaken, was involved in the writing of the latest Indiana Jones movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That nobody liked?
Yeah. He's a known writer.
I recognize his name. Yeah. But Kevin Bacon is at a party one night, and he doesn't think he can be hypnotized, and...
Yeah, it all starts as a game.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you can't... Whatever. And
he's all hypnotizing his bullshit.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, just relax. Put your arm down. Just rest it comfortably. Just lean back. Just be very comfortable and relaxed. Trust me. Okay? Close your eyes.
Certainly, Lisa.
Now, just listen for a moment. Listen to the sounds of the room around you.
I don't know why, but I'm scared.
Now, I want you to pretend you're in a theater, a movie theater. You're the only one there. It's one of those great old movie palaces. And you look around, it's a huge empty theater. You notice that the walls of the theater are painted in black. And the seats are covered in black. And in the whole pitch black theater, there's only one thing you can see, and that's the white screen. You'll notice there are letters on the screen. Tall, thick, black letters, but they're out of focus, so you begin to drift closer to them in your chair, trying to read them. And you're very comfortable now. It's your favorite chair. You're drifting closer and closer, staring at the letters. Very relaxed now. Your legs are relaxed. Your arms are limp and heavy. You're almost close enough to read the letters now. They start to come into focus. The letters spell sleep. Sleep.
What the hell was that?
Yes!
What? What? Why? What?
Are you okay? You were faking it. You
that
had
was
to be
the weirdest goddamn thing I've seen in my life.
He was
congratulations,
it,
right? Tom. You're one of the lucky 8%.
Still have tears on your cheeks.
What the hell did she do to me?
So she hypnotizes them, and in the process gives them a subconscious command of sorts.
Suggestion?
Yeah, post-hypnotic suggestion to have an open mind.
Right.
And in that process, she didn't mean to. She meant his personality to be more open. It opens up his senses. Mm-hmm. And he begins to have these visions of a girl. You know, first he thinks he's going crazy.
Scary images.
Yeah, the movie is genuinely scary.
It's like an assault on the senses.
And he has these visions of a girl. He's trying to figure out who this girl is, what happened to her, and then he eventually finds out that this girl was murdered. Mm-hmm. And she is trying to get him to find out
what happened solve it or
and
something.
Yeah. Where she is buried, and just to let everybody know what happened, because nobody knows. Everybody thinks she just disappeared.
Right.
Because it turns out this girl lived close by.
Right.
And it was a big news event. But anyway, it definitely has gained a lot of recognition.
I think
as
so, too.
Late, but it came out in the same time frame of The Sixth Sense.
Well, that explains
it. Which I think kind of buried it. And I think this movie is better than The Sixth Sense.
This movie obviously holds up. On rewatchability factor.
Oh, it's excellent.
Whereas
I've watched
Sixth Sense doesn't.
No,
for obvious
I've watched
reasons.
Sir Echo's numerous times. Yes. It's an excellent.
I gotta
film.
Say, I got a thing for his wife in that movie.
I figured she is
some about her. I don't know what it is. Especially that scene where she shags him in the middle of the night. That's just like out of the blue. There's something really hot and sensual about that.
There's something
about her. It's like she's got that kind of short hair. She's got that short, spunky girl kind of quality. I just like her in that movie. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's really cool. It's a different movie.
It's not a movie that is exploitive of special effects.
No, it's not.
It's all psychological, and the images you see of the ghostly girl are very quick, but they're also very eerie.
Yeah, they're intense.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. I remember a lot of red. Really gets your attention.
All right, so our number one is going to be...
You know, let's just say it.
Defending your life.
All right. I knew we were going to both do it. There wasn't really any question about it.
I'm glad we can share this one. I'm glad we think alike.
Defending Your Life. This is written and directed and starring
Albert Brooks,
1991, co-starring Rip Torn, Meryl Streep, among others. Mm-hmm. Albert Brooks is just your kind of typical whatever guy, kind of probably in his midlife, whatever. He's just bought himself a nice, sweet... Is that BMW?
Yeah. Why'd you show me the 750? My car looks like a turd now.
Yeah. You know, he's basically lived his life through some variation of fear. We learn this as the movie goes on. But right in the beginning of the movie, he gets hit by a bus and dies. Mm-hmm. And
he gets hit by a bus while singing to Barbra Streisand.
But he, instead of going directly to heaven or being displaced back on Earth, he must first go through a judgment period where he has to defend his life.
Well, the way they look at the afterlife in this movie is very interesting. There is no hell.
Yeah, there's no hell.
There's a waiting period.
LA comes pretty close.
It's all about, like Rip Torn says, it's about getting smarter.
Yeah, it's all about getting smarter.
Overcoming your fear.
Yeah, and at this stage of existence,
they never say
your
exactly,
life is pretty much dedicated.
Yeah, they never
to
say exactly
fear.
What you move on to, but
you
Rip
just
Torn,
move on to the next level of growth.
Rip Torn explains it as the universe is all a big machine. We're all parts. And you don't want a part to get by if it's defective.
Yeah.
So that's when the examination.
Yeah. So if you haven't conquered fear, which they basically explain is kind of like the base emotion,
kind of the baby step.
Yeah. Once you've conquered that hurdle, you can move on. And if you haven't, if you've died and you haven't conquered that, then you go back and you do it again. Mm-hmm. You obviously don't remember, but your kind of spirit does. So mm-hmm. you know you kind of keep doing it.
So I'm on trial for being afraid.
Well, first of all, I don't like to call it a trial. Second of all, yes.
Well, what if I'm guilty? What happens to me?
Don't think innocent or guilty. Worst comes to worst, you'll go back to Earth and you'll try it again.
Well, what do? You just keep going back until you get it right?
Well, you don't keep going back. Eventually, they'll throw you away.
Have I been to Earth before?
Oh, yeah.
How many times?
Approaching 20.
Is that a lot?
I was there 6.
Oh, my God. So I'm the dunce of the universe.
Don't be silly. We've had people who've been there 100 times. I wouldn't want to hang out with any of them, but I've seen them.
If you're defending me, is there a prosecutor?
Damn good one. Lena Foster. We call her the Dragon Lady.
That's our prosecutor? Mm-hmm. Who does she work for?
The universe. You see, the universe is like a big machine, and you and I are parts. Now, they don't want a part to get through unless it's ready. A bad part gets through and the whole machine breaks down. So that's what we're here for, to make sure you're ready.
So what do they want to look at exactly?
I can't tell you that exactly, but I can tell you it's 9 days from your life.
9 days. So my trial goes on for 9 days?
No, all the trials go on for 4 days. Over that time, we're looking at 9 days or episodes from your life.
Which days? Tell me that.
I'm not allowed.
Is that a normal number? High, low? Is that a good number? Normal?
You're very concerned about normal, aren't you? Kind of cute. I prefer 7, but 9's fine. Some people have 12. Say, you hungry?
Starving. I didn't even eat. I had one bite, and then I got on the tram.
Well, Mr. All You Can Eat, that's stuff. Come on.
And the amount of days they look at tends to be directly associated to whether this trial's going to go well for
them. Yeah, if you have a lot of days, that means it's bad.
They're really having to fight
for it. And 9 turns out to be a very oddball number.
9 is a high number.
Everybody reacts oddly when he says 9.
When they ask him, how many days you looking at? Oh, 9. 9 days!
Oh, my God. Yeah, everybody's just kind of like, okay.
Delicious.
Do you like it?
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So how many days are you looking at? How many days are you looking at?
9.
9 days? Oh, my God. 9 days!
9 days!
Thank you very much.
9 days!
You better have more sake.
It's a very unique and interesting way to look at moving on.
Yeah, I mean, he goes into Judgment City, and he goes into his trial,
right.
And it's very much like an Earth trial.
Yeah, and they literally show
and they
him
show you,
on a screen.
Yeah, they show you on a screen days from your life.
Parts of his life.
They're judging you. You have a prosecutor, and you have a defender.
And they're judging you on these moments in your life to whether or not you have conquered fear.
Did you overcome it or not?
And, you know, it's kind of pointless to explain all the things they show.
But basically, he hasn't.
Yeah, that's the general idea. Is that
and during this, he meets Meryl Streep.
Right, Meryl Streep, who has also died, of course. Mm-hmm. They meet, and during their downtime, during their trials, they're able to enjoy Judgment City, which is quite a nice place.
Yeah. And eat anything you want.
Yeah,
they go to the Pestalized Pavilion.
Yeah, it's all sorts of things. And they fall in love. It's, you know, made clear right away. She's moving forward. There's no question about it. She's one of those ones that have mastered it.
Yeah.
So she's moving on. And at the end of the movie, you know, you realize he's not. And, you know, it all comes down to this triumphant moment where...
I love that moment.
There's a lot of fears that he's conquering when he makes that decision to go after her. Mm-hmm. You know, she's put on a tram to go
onward.
Move forward.
He's put on a tram to go back to Earth.
To go back to Earth. They're kind of buckled in, locked into these trams. There's an electrical field around it. And he's been judged. And he's really feeling
he's
broken.
Low. Yeah.
He decides to unbuckle himself and go for the girl no matter what. Which, as you've seen through examples in his life, that's not really his style. He kind of gives up. He just gives up.
Well, fear has overcome him in every instance of his life.
Yeah, like most people. You know, he's kind of given into it. But he's not going to do it this time. And he gets out and unbuckles himself, gets zapped, runs after her. No matter who's telling him, don't do it, don't do it. He's doing it. And he gets the girl. And in that moment, he conquered fear.
He gets to move on.
And they let him go.
I know we just probably ruined the movie for anybody who hasn't seen it. But it's a shame.
You know by watching the movie, what are they going to do? Send him back to Earth?
What's a shame for anybody who hasn't seen it?
Well, it's done.
They really should check it out. It's really unique.
We may have spoiled the ending.
It's genuinely funny.
Yeah, it is. Even though we spoiled the ending, you can enjoy the movie anyway. Mm-hmm. It's still delightful. The characters are great. Mm-hmm. Really smart, snappy writing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know.
The moments in the classroom, I can't do it myself. It requires two people to do it.
Sure, but, yeah. You know. He's facing his fear. He's facing his fear. it's a great movie.
Yeah, it's just the pinnacle of movies about death.
That's why it was both on number ones.
I know. It doesn't get any better. But so anyway, I guess that wraps it up. I'm Justin. Talk to you next time.
I'm Josh. See you later.